Welcome to another edition of The Brand Called You. Today I have a very interesting entrepreneur, Akash Anand, on our show. Akash, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, sir.
Akash is the founder of Bella Vita Organic and he's an MBA from Northumbria University. Akash, tell me a little bit about your early career.
So my early career started in the UK when I started as an intern with Sky TV, which you have there. And slowly graduated into a sales and a marketing position where I started training a lot of people back in London for door-to-door sales on how to scale, you know, sell Sky TV. Okay. And that sales career then boosted into marketing. I came back to India, started my real professional career with a company called All About Outdoor, which sells billboards across the country. Slowly diversified into real estate with that same industry. Okay. And from real estate to here where we are, FMCG, beauty.
So how was your transition from real estate to beauty?
It's a very interesting conversation. While I was in the real estate industry, my mother and my sister were already running two salons in Gurgaon called Bella Vita Organic, where they were doing all these home nuskhas and home treatments for their clients, you know, not using chemicals. What started happening slowly was clients who were coming into the salon started actually taking away these boxes of products in 500 grams and 1 kg gram jars. And that's when we thought it's a great opportunity to be in the whole FMCG industry in India. If clients are happy with the products that we do, why don't we start manufacturing them in bulk and selling them in retail? And that's how we transitioned from, you know, that's how we got into the whole, from real estate into the whole beauty sector.
Wonderful. Yeah. So coming to Bella Vita, tell me a little bit about the business and how large is the beauty business in India?
Well, as per the latest reports, you know, which we keep reading, as per 2019 reports, the beauty business is currently about $6 billion, which is about 35,000 crores. It's a huge market. India is being eyed globally, you know, for people to enter, especially China. They really want to enter the industry, the Indian skincare industry, and they're figuring out ways of how to do that. It's a huge sector to be in, very successful, very much in demand. And slowly, you know, with the whole fitness regime coming in, people wanted to look good, people wanting to feel good about themselves. The beauty industry is really picking up. It's a great sector in the country.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
But it's also, you know, when I had founded Guardian, I had brought in this French brand Yves Rocher into India.
It's a brilliant brand.
And then we worked with them for about 4 or 5 years. It is a very, very crowded market.
It is.
How are you differentiating your products?
Okay. Now, if you look at all the beauty brands which are out there, in fact, majority of them, their products would not have a niche. Okay. You know, India as a market, especially Asia as a market, the biggest revenue generator for all these brands is just a fairness cream, you know, for most of them, which we don't do, number one. Second, they've got normal products. You know, they've got generic products, a normal moisturizing cream, a normal foot cream, a normal hair mask, stuff like that. How we've differentiated ourselves, we've done very concern relevant products. For example, our best selling product, it's called Nicolips. I used to be a smoker a few years back and I suffered from what every smoker suffers, that's dark lips. And that's when we understood, you know, that there should be a product specifically for this audience who could lighten their lips.
Okay.
And that's how we launched a scrub. You know, just for the lips, which gets darkened by smoking, by lipstick usage. Shisha is in trend, right? Hookah, so people do that a lot. And it darkens lips. So we've come up with very much, you know, very focused, concern relevant products. And that's where 80% of sales come from.
Wonderful. Yeah. So, you know, fair lips is one product. What are the other unique products
that you've
got?
Our brand, Bella Vita Organic. One is Nicolips, and we've got very quirky names though, right? Second is a product called GrowBro, G-R-O-W-B-R-O-W. It's this oil, a mix of a few herbs and castor oil, which helps women to grow their lashes and their brows.
Okay.
You know, it thickens them. There's a third product we call, which is called Celeb Shine. Okay, now it means celebrity shine. So you've seen so many of celebrities in real life, I'm sure. You know, celebrities, when they come for an interview or they have a presence, they're always shining. Their skin is very glossy. Unfortunately, they use a lot of chemical loaded highlighters, illuminators to do that. We've replicated the same thing with a natural recipe.
I see.
Where we've done a coconut oil base with butters. So you rub that lotion on your body. It hydrates your skin. Plus, it gives you a sheen for 4 to 5 hours. So, you know, products like such really help us in. There's another one called Nail Strong that we do. Okay. So again, it's for, and you know, all these products come from the family, which comes from where we discuss amongst ourselves what could be the problems. Nail Strong is a product that you just apply a drop on your cuticles and nails every night. It helps you grow nails quicker and makes them stronger.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
So who does all the research for this?
That's myself and my sister. Okay. Who's behind this. So we keep searching, we keep talking to people, we keep everyone we meet, we'd say, you know, what would be a perfect and ideal product for you? Or what you're suffering from, or what's your biggest concern? Mm-hmm. How can we solve that for you? And that's how most of our products come from.
Okay.
In fact, there's another product we just launched. It's again on a bit of a controversial lines, but we take a lot of feedback from our customers where on our website, we openly ask them, tell us what you want. And believe it or not, sir, we've got this inquiry from more than 3,000 women in the last 2 months. And that's why we've developed a product and launched it. Our product is called Nip Light.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how the audience will perceive this, but it's actually an areola lightening scrub.
Okay.
That's for nipples, and women want that. You know, they want areola lightening, intimate lightening scrubs as well. So we just see what the audience needs and we launch that product.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
So tell me, you know, most of the big international beauty brands are already here.
Yes.
You know, from the Japanese to of course the Europeans, the Americans.
Koreans.
I mean, you know, there are Koreans, there are the Israelis, and you know, Brazilian, and everyone's here.
Yeah.
There are also many, many Indian brands.
There are.
You know, the traditional one was the Lakme of India, which is now owned by the Tata, I think Unilever or whoever.
Mm.
And you talk about handcrafted and organic beauty solutions.
Right.
How are you differentiating from these hundreds of big brands?
Okay. The first thing we did was made in India.
Yeah.
Right. From our packaging to every single raw material. They're all sourced in India, except for our first few batches, which we went to Thailand for because we found a great factory over there to make stuff for us. Now, everything we do is, number one, it's sourced in India. From our jars, to our caps, to our packaging, to our jute bags in which we package. That's one. Second, India is such a big market that there is room for everyone to start with, right? And if you're good at what you do, you eventually excel. We're only 18 months old. Now, when you say organic and handcrafted, that means the salons that we already own, the luxury salons in Gurgaon, we get a footfall of about 700 to 800 women every month in those salons. It's by appointment only. Every single product that we launch in the market is first made in our units, tested in our salons for 2, 3 to 6 months. And once they're approved by our customers, that's when we launch it in retail. So when we say handcrafted organic solutions, it's all done through ancient Ayurvedic recipes that we know we keep reading, we keep understanding from our various formulators who are there in various factories. We make sure we are there in every single batch production. And third, when we say handcrafted, we use minimal technology. Okay. That means we use minimal automation as well. A very interesting thing about our handcrafted labels would be, products would be, if you ever pick up the product, you know, there'll be a goodie bag, which I've got for you. If you ever pick up a label, a product, you'd see that right at the end, the labels would not be aligned. Where the labels meet. That's because our labels never get machine pasted. Our labels always get pasted by hand. And there's a reason we do that. So we employ a lot of unprivileged women to do that for us. So although it's more of a cost, but then they get a job and plus they paste the labels manually. So we do our CSR and plus we do, you know, we call it handcrafted.
Terrific.
Yes.
And who would you say is your main competitor?
I'd say our main competitors would be the indie brands which are now growing, you know, independent businesses.
Such as
there are companies which I keep, taking inspiration from. One of them is M Caffeine. Mm-hmm. One is Plum, Mama Earth, Mom's Company.
Okay.
Unfortunately, all these companies are funded apart from us. We're not looking to get funded anyway. And that's what we're competing with. I would not say we're competing with the L'Oreal's, Lakme's and Lotus's of the world right now because they are very big in their bandwidth. So we should not be saying we're competing with them. But yes, we aspire to be at their levels or maybe bigger in the times to come.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
So Akash, when I was reading about the beauty industry, I was reading that it's generally believed that women over 40 tend to feel ignored.
That's right.
And what are your thoughts?
That's a reason for it. And that's why a very big chunk of our market is actually women over that age group. It's glamour, right? If you see any beauty ad, any perfume ad, anything, you just see young models, brilliant looking faces, talking about how their skin is glowing, how they're getting ready for a party, how they're getting fairer, etc., etc. But think about it. When do you actually need a skincare solution? Similarly, when do you actually need a doctor? Only when you've crossed a certain age limit, when your body stops healing itself naturally, right? And that's where we come in with a lot of our products. We've recently launched a series. It's called 21 Again.
Okay.
That's an anti-aging series. We only target women above the age of 35, 40 for anti-wrinkles, anti-aging. There are serums, there's a face pack. We're coming up with face gels for the same. It's a big market, which you're right, which is ignored. And tapping in there makes a lot of sense because that's when, you know, women, they want to see, so now how the industry is changing. They don't want to see models anymore. They don't want to see celebrities posing for photographs and endorsing brands without knowing what they are. We, in every single campaign, use real life models. So we'll use a very, normal looking lady who would come in the salon to actually do a video for us, to explain the product, to give her a real testimonial of how it's helped her as well. So it's a huge market to be in. And you're right, women over 40 do feel ignored, but that's a huge market to cater to.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
So, you know, you've got two separate businesses.
Correct.
Your retail and your salons.
Yeah.
How do you handle different these competing or
separate businesses? They are very much in complement to each other. And it's a blessing for us because if it wasn't for the salon business, we wouldn't have been in this business at the moment. Currently, we've got two different teams.
Yeah.
The retail team handles our online and the products, etc. Whereas the salon is now handled by my mother and the entire salon managers and the therapists that we have in our this thing. So it's not that difficult.
Okay.
Two separate teams to handle both the divisions. Okay. And the feedback really helps. We get so much feedback from the salon team on how to improve a product, how to redevelop a product. And similarly, we... The brand has really helped us to grow the salons, vice versa. Because when people around the Gurgaon vicinity look at the brand, they go to the website, they see we already have salons as well. So rather than they're buying online, they actually come in store, experience the salon as well, and buy our products at the same time.
Wonderful. Yeah.
So my next question to you is on sustainability.
Sure.
You know, there are a lot of sustainability challenges.
Correct.
Which include eco-friendly packaging, green formulations, transparency, and traceability in the industry. And you did mention jute bags, for example. How are you handling these?
We are very cautious of how we package our products, of what we use to package our products, and minimal wastage. The jute bags, for example, you see any product today, you know, even this mug, if you buy this, it's going to come in a corrugated box or in a mono carton. It makes no sense, very honestly, you know, and that's where our research led us to, where every product that we shopped and picked up from shelves, you know, about 3, 4, 5 years back, the same thing mentioned on the bottle label was again mentioned on the same corrugated box, which made no sense. Why to waste a piece of paper, you know, or resources which a customer is going to open and throw it away?
Correct.
Hence, we started using jute bags just to protect the packaging. And the jute bags are really cute though. You know, they can also be... So, women actually use them repeatedly to store their things and to use... In fact, you know, we tell a lot of people that why don't you give us ideas of how you're using this. So, one woman actually did a video for us where she used some homemade herbs and... I forgot the name of that ingredient, but she put it in the jute bag, sealed it up, and kept as a rat poison. Not a rat poison, but something to drive rats away from home. So people use those jute bags in a very decent way. Second, our production happens, our packaging. We source everything from India, from either from Gujarat or from Firozabad. That's in Uttar Pradesh. And only glass packaging. We only use recycled plastic in our hair care, which has to be kept in the washroom. So if it falls, it shouldn't break. But for everything else, it's all glass packaging sourced from India. We don't source anything from China. One, because of the transport issues. And second, if you can develop something in the country, why don't do it that way? So everything's done in-house in the country. And that's how we, you know, be as sustainable as possible.
Wonderful. Wonderful. There is that old saying that has been there forever.
Yeah.
That beauty is only skin deep. And there's another one which says beauty lies in the
eyes
of the beholder.
Yeah.
Right? What are your thoughts on this?
I hate that. When you say beauty is only skin deep, you know, it's scary, shocking, surprising at the same time that a major chunk of the Indian industry, Asian beauty industry, in fact, comes from only fairness creams. People just want to get fair. That's it. And, you know, that's one thing which in our brand, we never do. We run call centers as well, where we get a lot of clients who come up with their queries. So we give free consultation. We've got cosmetologists. 90% of the clients who call us, of the customers, they'd say, sir, mujhe gora hona hai. Mujhe apna skin color change karna hai. You know, we've got customers calling from South India, where they say, this is my original skin color. This is my real skin color. Mm-hmm. I'm a bit of a wheatish or a darkish complexion. I want to change my skin color. I've been using products like Fair and Lovely and Fairness Creams for so long. Let me tell them. I said, this doesn't work. Mm-hmm. Please be comfortable in the skin you have. The only thing our products can do, and she's like, aap mention karte ho glowing cream. What does that mean? So we tell them, the only thing our products can do is cleanse your skin and give you a natural glow. Mm-hmm. And no matter what your complexion is, if you've got a natural glow, you're going to look attractive nonetheless. Mm-hmm. There are so many actresses, so many celebrities who are of a dusky complexion, but they're doing so well. And that's what people in India...
So you know, you're in the beauty industry. Mm-hmm. Tell me, why are Indians so crazy about a fair skin?
Something controversial. Mm-hmm. That's how we've been brought up listening to stories. Krishan Bhagwanji, you know, Radha, Radha kyu gori mein kyu kala. And everything you hear, right, the way we've been brought up, for some reason, people of a fairer complexion are perceived as superior. Okay. And that's how the whole subliminal mindset of Indians has mm-hmm. become. And, you know, it's not only in India. I've lived in Singapore. I've lived in Malaysia. I've lived in Thailand for a few months. It's an Asian culture. It's an Asian thing. You go to Singapore, I mean, the amount of women I've seen over there who also want to change their skin complexion is bizarre. Mm. And Singapore being one of the most educated countries in the world. So it's just the Asian, it's just an Asian thing.
Okay.
You move towards the Western side, you'll see people want to get tanned and duskier.
Yeah.
So it's an Asian thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've spoken a lot about women, but beauty and grooming is equally critical for men.
Absolutely.
What is happening in this industry for men?
Men are getting metrosexual. Mm. It's as simple as that. Okay. We are seeing how, you know, in the recent times, so many men have started opening about their sexuality, number one. So, secondly, it's where the trend takes you. You know, companies like Ustra, Beardo, The Man Company, they've identified a niche where they've seen that, you know, men need this, men want this. And believe me or not, the amount of billing that happens in a salon for women, I think we are almost at par with men grooming as well. Men come in with all the needs and, you know, needs of theirs. And the want to look good and the feel to look good is now changing in men as well. So in earlier times, it didn't matter of how you looked. Mm. You'd eventually get married anyhow, right? With the whole arranged marriage culture. Today, it's very hard to find a woman. Mm. You know, if you're not good looking, if you're not well built, if you're not savvy enough to impress the other sex. Mm. And that's the whole point where this whole thing about wellness, fitness, looking good has gotten to men really, you know, in a massive way.
And there are more and more products coming up.
Yes, there are, of course.
So are you also looking at
Honestly, we started the men's range. We have a few products. So we've got a beard growth serum, we've got a styling serum, etc. But we're very small right now to spend so much money in such a market where it's very hard to grab attention. You know, women, there's a difference in men and women. Women still read. You know, women would actually open your link, they'd open your listing, they'd look at your ingredients, they'd see how you're making it, what's going in it, and then make a decision. Men, no. With men, they don't want to read much. They just want to see, acha, ye dikh raha hai, toh ye acha hoga, ye main le leta hun. So, to grab their attention, there's a lot of money that has to be spent, which we don't have right now to do. So, we are restricted in the whole women market.
So, my last question to you on the beauty part is, how are millennials changing the way you do business?
I think it's a blessing.
Okay.
The way millennials have helped companies like us grow. See, if I was to launch the same company 10 years back, 12 years back, I would have failed in my third month, very honestly, because you've built up Guardian in the country. You know all about retail. If this brand would have been taken offline, I would have been under major debt. Distributors would not have entertained me. I would have given so much credit in the market. The best thing which has happened to us because of millennials is the online shopping. You know, millennials are very happy in shopping online. They're very well informed. Mm. They Google each and everything. So, you know, gone are the times where you just write anything, claim anything, and it's going to sell. Mm. They Google every single thing based on your ingredients, based on where you're manufacturing out of, based on your experiences, etc. And those informed decisions help brands like us who do concern relevant products really get it out there in the market.
Wonderful.
So, well informed and online purchases by the millennials has really helped us
making a difference.
Yes.
So let me move on to a few questions for you on startups.
Sure,
and then
sir.
A few questions for you personally.
Please.
You know, you're a startup.
Yes.
And I'm sure you, lots of friends are doing startups.
Yes.
And yet we know a lot of startups don't make it.
Correct.
What in your view are the reasons
why a lot of startup entrepreneurs don't make it.
That's just one. And that's the biggest reason why. And I've been on the same boat about 5-6 years back. Mm. If today, if I was existing in, say, the 1990s, and my father would have said, you know, here's 2 lakh rupees or 1 lakh rupees and do something, I would have slogged myself, maybe opened a shop and taken things and run a business like a business. Today's problem with every startup is, you know, guys, people like people who are 20, 25 in that age bracket, they think that the meaning of startup is a business idea, a core team and funding. So the step should be an idea, a core team, stability, growth, revenue, and then maybe funding once you're stable. But right now, the idea of a startup simply means ideation, team building, funding. So, you know, startup founders, co-founders, entrepreneurs, they're only spending majority of their time in chasing funding. That's it. Okay, I've made a startup banalia, I've made a LinkedIn profile, they'll connect with every single VC. And trust me, the amount of time people waste in chasing funding like dogs behind cars, if they would have put in the same amount of energy and time in actually growing their business, conventionally, traditionally, they would be in a far better place right now. And that's why 80% startups fail. No idea is bad. Execution, yes, that can also be handled with the right mentorship. But running after funding is what kills a startup even in the first year of the business.
Okay, wonderful. Yeah. So moving on, a few questions for you personally.
Sure.
You know, you worked in the UK, you worked in real estate, now you've got your own venture here. Have you had any people who've had a strong influence on your life?
Oh, yes.
And if yes,
yes.
What have you learned from that?
You know, every single person I've worked with has always left, I've always taken something from them. You know, as I was telling you, I'd really love to sit with you and gain your experience as well. One thing early in my career, which I learned, there is a man, Mr. Ankur Rastogi. You know, he still runs the company called All About Outdoor and one of the biggest people in the country to run the outdoor, out-of-home advertising business. He taught me one thing very in my very early career. He said, create your own ladder. So that means don't try to climb up the ladder that everyone's climbing. Create your own ladder. And that's one thing I implied in my business as Bella Vita Organic as well, where rather than just following all the biggest brands in the world and just starting with fairness creams and this shampoo and that shampoo, we built a niche and we created our own ladder with our own products, which are now being copied by big brands. Okay. You know, and that was one of the biggest influences I had, where creating your own ladder is the way forward.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
So, Akash, what would be 3 words that define you?
Okay. Patience, persistence, and something that contradicts with patience is sense of urgency.
Okay.
Patience, why? It's very important to wait for the right moment, wait for the right product to get developed, and wait for the right timing to actually launch it. I used to be very impatient in my early stages of my career, but now slowly the patience has come in. Persistence is if something's not happening, keep trying it over and over again to ensure it happens the right way. So our best-selling product right now, called Nicolips, took us about 2 years to develop, since we started the business. And third is sense of urgency. I've seen entrepreneurs procrastinating a lot. I've seen them, aaj nahi, kal ho jayega, parson ho jayega, ab ye design ho raha hai. So one thing I do very well is manage my time in a very good way in terms of multitasking for a sense of urgency. So for example, if you want to launch a new product, the design of the label simultaneously happens while the product is being developed. Simultaneously, the packaging would be being, the raw materials or the packaging would be getting ordered. So everything works in harmony. And there's a huge sense of urgency when it comes to me to do things quick. So, you know, to catalyze the time and launch it before anyone else does.
Okay. Yeah. So Akash, I have time for 2 more questions.
Sure.
You know, my next question to you is on failure.
Okay.
We all fail.
Yes.
And we learn. What have been some of your learnings from some of your failures?
I failed a huge number of times.
Sure. Most of us have.
Yes. So this would be my 5th venture, which is now as successful as no other venture has been. And I said my biggest failure was my venture before this, which was, again, a real estate platform that I developed, which I eventually sold off to another company. Again, the same 2 learnings from the failure. One, the entire first year, all I did after building that platform was rather than focusing on making it grow traditionally, I chased funding. You know, I spent 12 hours a day on my pitch decks, on my valuations, on reaching out to VCs, on flying to Bangalore, Singapore, China, trying to get funded. That was the biggest failure. That was one. Second was, again, where I learned patience, where the product I had built was not completely ready for the market. It was ready for the market, but not ready to be scaled up.
Okay.
So eventually, even when I picked up funding in my last venture, and when we came to a stage of scaling up, we had to redo the whole thing again.
Okay.
And that really pissed off my investors.
Right.
So the two biggest failures, which are my biggest strengths now, is, again, patience and not running after money.
Valuation.
Yes,
okay.
Valuations.
So my last question to you, you said you've done 5 ventures after 4 reasonably successful. Now you've got a runaway success.
Yes.
There are thousands of people who will listen to our chat.
Mm-hmm.
What would your advice be to a young individual
mm-hmm.
who wants to start an entrepreneurial journey?
Again, I'm coming to the same point. I'll try to reframe it for them. If you're an entrepreneur who's now coming up wanting to start their own business, just have one thing in mind. Imagine the same business, how would your father have ran it 10 years back or 12 years back? Simple. Imagine you're not opening a tech platform or an online this thing. Imagine you're opening a store. And once you open a store, how do you get it famous? Funding will flow. Don't run after it. Funding is a byproduct. Please understand, why do investors invest? Because they want to grow their money. So why would they invest in something which they're not sure of?
Okay.
The moment you make your business successful, you make it stable, money is going to fly in. I get hundreds of emails a day from people, from investment bankers, from brokers saying, get yourself funded, raise some funds. And now we're at a stage when we say no. And the moment you say no to it, people run after even more to do it,
correct.
To fund you. Correct. So don't run after funding. And any business you start, imagine how you're going to run it, how you would have ran it if your father ran it about 10 years back.
That's very, very good. Very good advice. So,
yeah.
Akash, thank you very much. It's been
thank
a pleasure
so much,
speaking
sir.
To you, and I wish you lots of success.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to the Brand Called You podcast. Be sure to visit tbcy.in to join the conversation, access show notes, and discover fantastic bonus content. You can follow us on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Simply search for The Brand Called You. Thank you, and see you next week.